The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines and a senior advisor for healthcare.com. And we're lucky enough to have him, and he's been out detecting. So, hi, Frank.
Hey, how are you?
I
did some work for you this week, as always. So I spent some time talking to Rob Baril. Now, he's the president of SEIU 1199 NE for Northeast. That's the union that represents more than 20,000 healthcare workers in Connecticut. 20,000. Or as Baril calls them, the glue that holds our society together. I think he's right about that. So his message, you know, it was very clear and it was very emphatic. His members need more help to protect the people in Connecticut's nursing homes and public hospitals from this pandemic. The state's COVID-19 estimates, and these are estimates, okay, but they are truly grim. One day this week, there were 374 new cases and 84 people died. That's in nursing homes alone. And in all, in early May, Connecticut reported 31,000 cases, including 2,700 deaths. That's a 9% death rate. That's nearly 1 in 10. And as bad as that is, the situation is actually far worse in nursing homes, where more than half, well over half, of Connecticut's deaths have occurred. According to the state's own statistics now, 27% of the nursing home residents who have gotten COVID have died. 27%. That's more than 1 in 4. And guess what? That's not anything to laugh at, really. Baril says that the state is woefully undercounting. For example, this is in a recent period. Connecticut claimed around 374 deaths in the state's entire more than 200 nursing homes, right? 374 deaths, bad enough. But Baril says, just counting in his 69 union homes alone that same period, he counted 400 deaths just in his 69 homes. So how do you get a discrepancy like that? He says, what happens? The infection rate gets so bad in some of these homes that they stop testing, okay? No test, no official COVID death. That's how you get a discrepancy like that. Now, a little bit of good news. Actually, just today, Governor Lamont is pledging that he's going to test everyone in the nursing homes. That's all the residents and all the workers. And that can't happen quick enough. Because overall, Baril says the situation in the nursing homes right now is collapsing. And here's the problem. Healthcare working staffing in this state was hollowed out before the pandemic. Didn't have enough workers then, before this pandemic. Now his members are working double shifts of up to 60 to 70 hours a week. And obviously, that's just not sustainable. Let alone imagine if there's a second wave. Now we'd have a public health crisis. So, and Jill, you know, this is going to be no surprise to you whatsoever, but Baril's workers are getting sick themselves. I mean, we've talked about this. Once that virus gets into a nursing home, everyone around gets sick. So that's no surprise to you, I'm sure.
No, it isn't. But that's one of the things. And does it not have quite a bit to do with the amount of, you know, the your exposure, your constant exposure?
Sure. Now imagine these workers working double shifts. They've spent all this time in these nursing homes. They're very confined. I mean, you've got something like 15 people in a unit, 13 test positive. That's everybody. So look, Baril does
it.
I'm sorry?
Are we talking symptomatic?
We're talking both. So Baril says it's 1/7 of his workers. Okay, so it's 1,000 workers have tested positive, or they've been quarantined because everyone around them has the virus. Plus, 3 of his members have died, along with the mother of another worker. And yet, you know, yet his workers keep going to work. Okay, they just keep showing up, even though they believe me. I've listened in to a press conference with some of his workers. There's real fear there. They fear that, you know, they're going to work. They could get this virus. It could kill them. They could bring it home to their families. They can make family members sick. They might even kill a member, like the one member whose mother died. So this is real fear, yet they keep showing up. And just to top it off, Connecticut's Republican Party leaders want worker concessions from these staffers, like canceling the 3.5% raise that they're slated to get in July. I mean, please, these people are working. They're on the front lines and they want to cut their pay or take away their raise. Burrell says the situation would never be happening if his members were white rather than 80% women of color, which they are. And he said, and this is a direct quote, "Our workers are risking their lives and they're being disrespected as merely sacrificial." And the same goes for the people that they serve. This is a public health situation. Burrell says, and he said, look, I'm going to repeat this over and over again until it sinks in. The people that they serve, these are poor people, Black, Latin people. That's the members that the members are serving, those people. And those people are being denied the level of support and resources that we all deserve. So, Jill, again, it's going to be no surprise to you. Burrell has a couple of things. If he had the power, he would change. Should we talk about them for a little bit?
As you wish.
Okay. So he says, look, he thinks Governor Lamont should be spending more than the state's $2.3 billion rainy day fund on rebuilding public health in Connecticut. And he adds, that too many nursing home owners are still thinking more about saving money by skimping on PPE, you know, personal protective equipment, skimping on that equipment rather than about saving lives. And he says, we've gone from horrific to very, very bad when you talk about PPE. And look, he still has members who are still wearing trash bags as protective gowns today. And he said, and this is a direct quote, "Our workers are not trash." So he's got some real passion and he's making some very important points. So if Burrell had the power, he'd raise taxes on Connecticut's 17 billionaires to improve the state's public health infrastructure, the whole business. He wants better health insurance for his workers. He wants workman's comp for members who test positive for the virus. He's got workers who are testing positive for the virus, and they can't get workman's comp. That makes no sense to him. And when he explained it to me, it made no sense to me either. I was very surprised by that. And now we're talking about opening up the state, right? Late May, June, whenever we get around to that. Burrell says, okay, fine, we're going to open up. Where is the integrated plan? Where's the plan for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, so we make a transition in a safe way? Otherwise, again, he says we could face a public health crisis. So Jill, that was my conversation with Burrell. I think, you know, he's a union leader. He's got members who are sacrificing for, obviously, for the public good. This is a public health situation, and they're putting their lives in danger for very sick and vulnerable people in our society. They should be applauded. There shouldn't be people trying to take away their raises. I think he made a lot of sense. So I was happy to talk to him.
That's very fascinating. What does he think practically is actually going to occur?
Practically? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's hopeful that the raise will not be struck. He's out there, you know, he's a union. He's out there fighting for his members. And here's one thing he knows for sure. You know what? This morning and this afternoon, and Monday morning and Monday afternoon and Tuesday afternoon, his workers are going to show up in those public health situations, even though they fear this virus very much. And they fear it for their own personal safety and for their families. But you know what? They're going to show up. That's for sure. All right. Look, In other news, you know, Carol and I continue to try to stay as safe as we can. I know you like these little stories. So Carol wants to make a little pasta dish. She didn't have the ricotta she wanted. We couldn't find it in the stores and whatnot. So I called Tara's, you know, that pizza joint in Millerton. Mm-hmm. And they were happy to sell me some ricotta. So I go down there. And my daughter warned me, whatever you do, you know, don't take any change. I mean, don't take any dollar bills back. I mean, give them whatever you're going to give them in cash. Okay, all right. So I go there. So the ricotta is $6, right? And all I got is a $10 bill. And I can't take back any dollar bills, right? Family would be very upset about that. So you know what? I took the change in cannolis. I came home with some nice ricotta. I came home with some cannolis. We had a very nice dinner. Otherwise, you know, that Millerton rail trail, you know, continues to be Knucklehead Alley as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I saw the Millerton police car parked outside the entrance to discourage clustering as people are coming in and out of, walking on and off that trail. Yeah, but across the street in the parking lot, there was like this little biker convention. There were like 18 of these middle-aged bikers. Nobody's wearing a mask. One or two guys are wearing a mask, but virtually nobody's wearing a mask. They're yucking it up, having a grand old time. And on the trail itself, fewer people wearing masks than ever before. They're just not. And, you know, all I can say, please wear a mask. Protect. It's protection. You are protecting other people, okay? You are doing a public service. So protect other people around you. Protect your family members that you're walking with, anybody that passes by. Please wear your mask. So we do what we can do, Jill.
Are the people who aren't wearing masks observing distancing, except for the times where you cross into somebody's... There are Central Park stories that are just, again, it's...
It's not Central Park. It's not Central Park crowding. But people stop in little clusters. They talk to each other. They bump into pals they haven't seen for a while, and they all sit together. They all stand together and talk. It's a narrow trail. It's hard to pass them without getting very close to them. so it's really it continues to be a problem. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and weekends here, we have a lot of people who come up from elsewhere also, driving through. There's a whole lot of that, I will say, empirically. I spoke to a friend of mine, and these are absolutely law-abiding, careful. Nobody here has missed a payment of any type, and I say that for a reason. One is... Mm-hmm. Early 70s, and one is mid 60s. One is in Colorado, Denver. One is in Las Vegas. The Colorado woman had a friend over for supper last night. They've known each other for they've been in contact for this entire thing, and and just decided to have a bowl of pasta at the other person's house. And the one in Las Vegas, it was her birthday, and she had her family over, and a friend from LA came down. And again, these aren't people who are trying to skirt the live on the edge. It's just that their reality over the last period of time is that they've done what they've done. It's not I'm sick. It's just hey.
I would just try to do that very selectively. I mean, obviously, we have our daughter and son-in-law and little baby Gigi, so cute, living with us. So yes, we've made that decision. But they came up here for 2 weeks from Brooklyn, and then they stayed in a rented little cottage for two weeks before they joined us. So we're very careful when we go out, obviously. We've walked the trail with pals 6 feet apart and wearing masks. Look, you can do things, but do it carefully. I don't think you want, this is not the time to jump on your motorcycle with a dozen or more pals, okay, without masks and cluster together and trade jokes. I mean, this is just not the time to do that. You're asking for trouble. If there's a family member, if there's very good friends, you trust them to have been as careful as you're being careful. Of course, live your life, but live it. You know, I got to say, Jill, you got to live this carefully because this is such a highly contagious disease, and it spreads when people are not feeling any symptoms. You're most contagious about 3 days before you have symptoms. So you don't realize that you're putting other people in jeopardy. So you just have to assume, okay, that the dollar bills you're going to get back at Taro's, I'm sure they're fine, okay? But you got to assume that maybe they're not. So take the cannoli.
Right. Be clever.
Take the cannoli. It's hands-free delivery. Take the cannoli. Don't take the dollar bills. And be careful, okay? Don't be nuts, but be careful.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable health care to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Health Care Now, available online, in store. And as I so often like to say, I've got two copies on my desk.